was a black ribbon on the lone highway. Men turned into boys on the lone highway. Rest up creeps by on the lone highway. Pretty girls beware out on the lone highway. On the lone highway. Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway. Stroked a little girl's hair on the lone highway. On the lone highway. On the lone highway.
Yes, and as it turns out, the Mark of the Beast has been patented and is now a fully owned subsidiary of Microsoft and Bill Gates and the shadowy elite who control him. Yes, it looks like the Mark of the Beast is going to be run as a business. Yes, as a business with extremely high profit margins for all involved. And I think the motto for this new business will be over 7 billion served. Without their willing consent, of course. Yes, without your vaccine papers, and in the future, without your patented Mark of the Beast vaccine tattoo, you won't be able to leave your house, much less buy food or participate in society. But of course, that's only if we allow it. Yes, it's time to participate in this. We can't just sit back in our lazy boy chairs and let this happen. And I'll tell you guys, this whole coronavirus emergency, it could go down in history as the New World Order's greatest success, where they were able to retool and re-engineer society as we know it and introduce the most draconian system of control ever known to mankind, or it could be their biggest defeat. It really could. It could be their biggest defeat ever, and it could be an all-encompassing defeat as well. And I'll explain what I mean by that, because it's a defeat that could happen on many, many levels. So let me just check the chat room real quick and see who is on board. Let's see. We've got Snippets, Dog, Wild Bob, Night Sky, Analog, Doc Time, Ahmad, Jasmine, Eagle Flower, Positron, Crab Cake, Boy Solomon, Comet, May Street 139, SJ, The Jurist, LB, James, Wall-E, Mr. Rowe, and Blasphemous Buddha. Yeah, I like that name. Okay, so as I was saying, by the way, just I'll try to keep an eye on the chat room for any good and insightful comments. Okay, so this could be a defeat, an all-encompassing defeat. It could be a defeat where the general public begins to lose faith in our so-called leaders. Right? Our so-called leaders and the experts with whom we are supposed to, you know, hang on their every word to guide us through life, you know, kind of like, Anthony Fauci. He's an expert. We're supposed to listen to him, even though he's pretty much failed upward for for the last, 35, 40 years. Experts like him and experts like Bill Gates, who apparently is quite an expert on the medical industry, even though he has no training. Yeah, so people can start losing faith in that, which I think is already happening. If you look at the comments on any video that Bill Gates is on recently, they're overwhelmingly negative, unlike anything I've ever seen before, and that's certainly a good sign. But people could also start to lose faith in this phony monetary system where trillions of dollars can be, printed up on a whim. Well, I guess they don't really print them up that much anymore. Just add a bunch of zeros to a computer screen. So much easier. And I think people are also starting to lose faith in this rigged casino known as the stock market. Yes, where rallies happen as millions of people lose their job. That's really incredible when you think about it, huh? You know what? 30 million people so far have lost their job, and the stock market took a big hit, but it's been coming back. I guess jobs aren't all that important anymore for the people in the stock market, which is all smoke and mirrors. And at last count, I think about 30 million people have lost their job in America alone, and is projected to rise up to 47 million. 47 million lost jobs in the coming quarter is the prediction, with a 32% unemployment rate projected by the St. Louis Federal Reserve. But hey, apparently that's good for business on some level because, the stock market's going up even as people lose their jobs. So, yeah, that's good business to, destroy jobs, apparently. At least it's good business for the American oligarchy, this billionaire class that now is starting to openly run the country. You know, they're coming out of the shadows to take their rightful place on the thrones that they deserve, or so they think. It's an incredible transformation that we're witnessing right now, and we really cannot let it happen. Now, a new report just came out from the Institute for Policy Studies, and it found that while tens of millions of Americans have lost their jobs during this coronavirus so-called pandemic, America's ultra-wealthy elite have seen their net worth surge by $282 billion in just 23 days. Well, that's not bad work if you can find it, huh? $282 billion in 23 days. Unbelievable. So much for producing anything. You know, the economy is supposed to be based on producing goods and services, not just watching more zeros added to your bank account while you sit around. So despite the fact that the economy is expected to contract by 40% this quarter, by 40%, think about that. We're in uncharted territory with this kind of, controlled demolition of the economy. And the report also noted that between 1980 and 2020, the tax obligation of America's billionaires, measured by percentage of their wealth, decreased. It decreased by 79% in the last 30 years. Okay? And U.S. billionaire wealth has soared by over 1,100% in the last 30 years. So billionaire wealth has actually soared by 1,100%. While the median household wealth of the average Joe, essentially, has increased by barely 5%. And that's actually a negative gain, for lack of a better term, because it's wiped out by inflation and then some. So the average median household has actually lost quite a bit of money over the last 30 years. And now we're seeing this process accelerate with this so-called crisis that we're under. But, you know, we're all supposed to be so caught up in fear and emotion that we're not supposed to be able to rationally think and see what's coming at us, which is the biggest transformation of our society that we've ever lived under. And I think a transformation that's hard for most people to even visualize or comprehend. So in 1990, the total wealth by America's billionaire class was $240 billion. And apparently today, that number stands at $2.95 trillion. That's a lot of zeros. $2.95 trillion. So as the result of this crisis, America's billionaires have accrued more wealth in the past 3 weeks than they made in total prior to 1980. So that's hard to even imagine, that in 3 weeks they've made more wealth than they did prior to 1980. That's hard to wrap your head around, especially when you consider they're not really doing anything. They're just sitting back and watching the numbers, you know, add up on their screen. So as a result of this transformation that we're living through, three people, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, and Berkshire Hathaway's Warren Buffett own as much wealth as the bottom half of all the United States households combined. So we really are seeing a transformation of our society into an oligarchy and a cryptocracy and a kleptocracy. That's what's happening right before our eyes. But we're supposed to be so afraid of the virus and the war on virus and wearing masks and being afraid of your own shadow that we're not supposed to even notice this. So this Institute for Policy Studies report continues, and they say that the super rich have also, of course, captured the legislative and executive power, which is no surprise, controlling what laws are passed. And the report discusses what it labels a wealth defense industry, where billionaires are paying millions to dodge billions in taxes. So let me say that again, where billionaires are paying millions to dodge billions in taxes, with teams of accountants, lawyers, lobbyists, etc., and asset managers to help them conceal their vast fortunes in, you know, these so-called tax havens and charitable trusts and foundations. And the foundations are probably the biggest scam of them all, which was, pioneered by the Rockefellers back at the turn of the 1900s. So yeah, just let those figures sink in. That's really incredible. And it's all accelerating now. And we're really not supposed to notice it. Yeah. So as it turns out, crashing the economy and destroying the livelihood of millions of people is actually good business. Yeah. And of course, this business model was kind of first explored and perfected during the great stock market crash of 1929 and the subsequent so-called Great Depression. And you know, at the time of the great stock market crash, it was actually the greatest transfer of wealth in human history up to that point. So everyone's thinking about how much, you know, the average guy lost, but a handful of people raked in more money than has ever happened in human history. And this is happening again, only on a much grander scale. And we're not supposed to notice. And look, guys, you know, what do you guys think is going to happen if we just sit back and allow the entire worldwide economy to stay shut down much longer? I mean, what do we think is going to happen here? This can't continue for much longer without absolutely catastrophic results. And one thing they're doing with this situation is a lot of the governors are playing this game. Well, you know, we're going to open the state back up in 2 weeks. Yeah, that's it, 2 weeks. And then the 2 weeks go by and, oh, no, you know, I'm sorry, we can't open it up just yet, but in a couple more weeks, we're going to do it for real this time. We really are. So they're kind of just stringing us along, especially the states that are run by, the more liberal, let's say, progressive Democrats. They have to kind of keep stringing us along, because if they just came out and said, well, look, we're not opening the economy up until, you know, next year or fall, people would go berserk. So they got to keep us sort of, you know, pacified and give us a check and say, oh, just a couple more weeks and things are going to get back to normal. But I don't think they have any intention of letting things get back to normal anytime soon. And, you know, I think what's happening now is we're being strung along and we're being retrained. We're being retrained in the way that we interact with one another. And this is a long-term plan. They have no intention of dialing all this back anytime soon. I don't see any real sign of it other than just words that come out of some of these governors' mouths. And I'm seeing a lot of, you know, totally narcissistic people that are loving the attention. You know, this Gavin Newsom scumbag does these daily updates, and it's like he's a reality star now. Same with Cuomo, a bunch of other people. They're all doing it, and they're loving the attention. They really think that there's some kind of media sensation, media celebrity somehow. Okay. Crabcake is asking me a question here in the chat room. Scorpio, sorry, don't mean to throw you off. Terrible figures you're bringing forward. So tragic, it's almost too much to bear listening to how bad we're getting effed. Yeah, it is a bleak picture right now, and I don't relish bringing such information forward, but I think it's time that people see what's coming at them, because I really don't think we have a long time to start to stand up and turn this around. So I'm just trying to speak what I think people need to know, and believe me, I don't take any pleasure in this. I don't think it's a good outlook, but people are going to have to start standing up to this, because I don't see there's any plan to dial this back. And I really think that we're being trained much like cattle or some kind of farm animal, you know? I mean, really, if we allow ourselves to be tattooed with some kind of vaccine proof, I mean, is that much different than, you know, a cow with a tag on its ear or a brand on its backside? I just don't want to see humanity go down that road of being essentially taken down to the level of just an animal. And that's partly why we're always inundated with this notion that you are your brain. You know, you're just a brain. You know, there's no spirit. There's no soul. You're this brain that lives inside this flesh body. And there's, you know, the science is always trying to drive this into us and remove any semblance of spirituality. And that cannot be allowed to happen. It cannot be allowed to happen, because that is what differentiates us from the animal kingdom, is our spirit and our connection with God. So, yeah, I'm not seeing any indication that they want to take things back to normal. And retraining our society. Like, for example, this thing with no sports. I'm not a big fan of sports. I don't sit around and watch sports, but athletics and sports are an important part of our society. The way we interact with one another, the way young men kind of learn to be physical and to dream too. Depending on what level you're at, you could hope you'll make the varsity team, or some people hope they make become a professional athlete. Well, these dreams are being taken away, and I think it's a very dark agenda. I don't want to see it happen. Now, another indication that I see that they have no intention of like taking things back to normal, on the West Coast and on the East Coast too. I'm hearing reports from people I know that the restaurants, they're getting ready to let some restaurants reopen, but the tables are going to have to be, 6 feet apart. And the cities and the counties are already drawing up all these rules and regulations. And if anyone knows, anything about the restaurant business, the profit margins with restaurants are actually pretty small. You rely on constant overturn of, tables and new customers and volume. That's how restaurants make it. So if they're cutting in half the amount of people that are allowed to go to the restaurant, how are these people supposed to make it? And but we're going to do takeout. We're going to do more takeout. Okay, that'll save some restaurants, but again, they're re-engineering how we interact with one another. I mean, part of going to a restaurant is not just the food, it's the ambiance of the restaurant. You go in there and meet people, or you meet old friends and, have dinner together, meet new people. So they're trying to remove that whole social interaction part of going out to eat. Now it's just like, someone sets a bag outside the restaurant, and it hurries back in into the restaurant before you can get close enough to breathe on them, That's not a society any longer. It's a bunch of people that are afraid of each other. And again, we need to look at what they're doing, not be in fear anymore of this so-called scary virus that's gonna, kill everybody if we don't get vaccinated. We need to look beyond that and see the changes they're trying to make. And my aunt lives in San Diego, and she was telling me, and some other friends have told me, that in California they're starting to put up these plastic guards, like around the cashiers in grocery stores. They're just starting to do it now, and I've got some friends on the East Coast that are telling me the same thing. And if you study how this control group or how these controllers work that run our society, they like to start things on both coasts and then work their way to the middle of the country gradually. But they always use the two coast west. East Coast to start these new ideas and these new programs. So the fact that they're putting plastic guards around cashiers, that does not give me any indication that they plan on restoring our society the way we knew it. And again, I don't think we can just sit back and go, yeah, well, I'm sure they'll fix it for us. We'll just wait and things will get back to normal. I don't think so. In fact, I know it's not. I don't see any indication of it. And so only allowing the basics is going to equate to a sustained depression. And the people that are running this whole scam, this whole operation, damn well know it. Because so much of the economy previously was based on, tourism, hotels, restaurants, things that people do to blow off steam after working. I mean, does anyone really think that tourism is coming back anytime soon? you know, like a nice cruise on a Carnival cruise ship, or maybe a nice vacation to Italy. No, these are very unlikely to happen, but only if people lose their fear. That's what's running this whole thing, is fear. And fear really is the greatest enemy that we face in many ways. So we're being deliberately led into a sustained depression. And of course, this interlocks with many of the goals of so-called sustainable development or the New Green Deal. It's very convenient how this all interlocks, isn't it? And obviously, it's just a coincidence. But no, it's not a coincidence. In the chat room, Lumen Jingos is saying, shocking, the globalist parasites would go all in like this. The COVID-19 plandemic is utterly overblown fear psyop. Yeah, it is. I have to agree. I am shocked that they've gone all in on this so quickly. And before I said that I thought this is more of a test run. And it doesn't look like it is. They're going for it now. In the chat room, Snippets is saying, did y'all know that Gavin Newsom is Nancy Pelosi's nephew? That's absolutely true. I think it's by marriage, if I'm correct. But either way, it's all big one happy family. It's like a mafia family, essentially. And this Gavin Newsom, if you've ever watched one of his press conferences, they're absolutely the most disgusting thing you've ever witnessed. Because he's much like Dr. Fauci, just completely narcissistic and just thinks that, you know, he's on TV and people are listening to him and they love him and he's wonderful. Little do they know how much people actually loathe and despise them. They're completely out of touch with how hated they actually are. Yeah. And one more comment from the chat room from Lumen Jingos. Globalist parasites destroyed real manufacturing in the 90s, now destroying service economy. That's exactly right. Yes, they destroyed manufacturing with basically with this NAFTA. That was really the final nail in the coffin, wasn't it? And of course, NAFTA was a bipartisan effort, right? George W. Bush started it, and I think Clinton signed it. And of course, it took 20 years to really kick in and completely destroy manufacturing. But that's what it's done. And now they're destroying the service economy, because I don't see how people are going to just go back to going out to eat at restaurants. Your average person is so full of fear that they can't imagine going out to eat. Just get that bag handed to you through the door and run back to your cars for fast as possible, right? Yeah. And Snippet says Trudeau has no idea how much he is hated by the West. That's so true. I think it's true with all of these people. I saw Trudeau make this announcement a couple weeks ago about, you know, until there's a vaccine, things are not going back to normal. And he had this sheepish look on his face. You know, he really looked like the cat that swallowed the canary. You know, that part of him deep inside actually felt guilty about what he was saying. And he knew he was doing something wrong. But, well, when you're a sociopath, those kind of feelings don't last long. You know, it's pretty easy to get over them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I'll post that report that I was reading from the Institute for Policy Studies over at Grissom later today or tomorrow. No problem. So, yeah, this is incredible what they're doing, and I think the general public has no idea what's coming at them. And, you know, it's incumbent for all of us that know more than the average person, to everyone that's listening to my voice. You know, don't be afraid, to speak out to people. If you lose a few friends, screw it. It's time to share our information more than ever. And I know no one likes to feel like an idiot. And I've had a few encounters with people where, you know, people just thought I was crazy for telling them. I've been telling people flat out, this is a scam. They're lying to us. And they're using this to make a power grab that we've never seen before. And one guy said, well, I'm just not as cynical as you. Oh, okay. Sorry. You know, I'm sorry to be cynical, you know. But, you know, I do think sometimes when people react really vehemently against what you say, you're actually planting a seed. And their reaction is proof that something what you're saying is bothering them on a certain level, but they don't want to accept it. But, you know, with some people, that seed will grow. With other people, they'll just repress it. You know, it can't be true. And just go about their life and believe all this nonsense. And I think part of the strategy that these scumbag, you know, global elitists are using is they're deliberately bombarding us with conflicting information and deliberately trying to create confusion. Because, you know, they know they can't really censor information now. I mean, they're trying with, you know, deleting videos off of YouTube and deleting stuff off of Facebook. But, you know, that doesn't really work as much as they'd like to think. Because partly, you know, if a really good video comes out, somebody's going to mirror it, you know, copy it, mirror it, put it on another site. So it's like a whack-a-mole, you know, they can't get all of them. And they know that. They know that. So they're using the opposite approach, I think, of just information overload. Deliberately spreading all kinds of false information about this coronavirus hoax. You know, depending on what channel you're listening to or what expert you're listening to, you're hearing different information. You're hearing different facts and different numbers. So the end result is most people don't have any idea what's going on. They just know that they're scared and they don't want to get coronavirus and die. You know, I mean, that's really where most people are. And, you know, we need to try to help people get past that because let's be honest, we've all been in a state of complete ignorance. And, you know, it's a process. Learning this stuff. It's not like you wake up and that's it. No, you know, you're constantly, at least I am, I'm constantly learning more things and correcting things that I thought were true that are not. And that's a process. And we have to try to help our brothers and sisters along that road now more than ever. And not, you know, not mock people for being, you know, sheeple. I don't like that term. I don't like the arrogance that it carries with it. You know, we've all been ignorant and we all are still ignorant. So let's lend a helping hand to people and try to get them on the right road. Cause we really are playing for all the marbles this time, guys. We really are. And, you know, I really do believe that if we don't stop this, we're going to come to a point probably by next winter where the food chain is going to start to break down. And I'm not saying that people are going to be starving to death in the United States, but you're going to see more and more empty shelves in grocery stores. And we're already seeing these long lines of people in their cars in California and other states, Texas, Florida. I've seen it in a bunch of different states where people are, you know, there's a mile long line of people in their cars waiting to get food from food banks and other organizations. And oddly, in a lot of the footage, the people handing out the food are in military uniforms. And of course, no mention is made of that. Like, hey, what's that military guy doing handing out food? You know, just like, oh, it's normal. It's just a military guy handing out food. No cause for alarm, you know. And, but you know, make no mistake, FEMA and the Army and other government entities have massive stockpiles of food. And they're going to start using those stockpiles to get people, you know, dependent on these food handouts. I really do believe that's coming, and it's already starting. And they're going to use the National Guard or FEMA to hand out this food. And remember, over 43,000 new National Guard troops were just deployed. And it's very hard to get much information about what they're doing or where they're going. I was mentioning on my last show, a friend of mine, ex-military, and he knows guys, everybody he knows that's in the National Guard are all getting deployed. And they're all saying, we're not supposed to say where we're going, you know. So it's a bit of a mystery what's going on there, but I think it has to do with handing out food and, of course, beginning to test people. Got to have to test everybody in order to stop this virus. Never mind that it's military people with guns and in military uniforms doing it. No cause for alarm. Just go along with it, right? Yeah. LB, the jurist, says, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. They made sure that happened with social media. Yes, and social media has created so much narcissism in average people. It's terrible. You know, hey, look what I had for dinner, and oh, here's the bottle of wine I drank, and oh, here's me doing this, and aren't I cool, and you know, isn't my life perfect? You know, it's just time to get past that, guys. We're into a whole new phase of life here. Doc Time has another interesting, very insightful comment. The cult of personality is pervasive. If someone you like says it, it must be true. And if someone you don't like says it, it cannot be true. Yes, that's very true. And, you know, one thing that I've tried to respect for years is don't be afraid to learn things from people you don't like. Because sometimes people you don't like are brought into your life for a reason. And they know things that you don't know. So that's very insightful, Doc. Very, very insightful, as usual. And I think, you know, going back to this deployment of National Guard, it all signs point from where I sit that they're getting ready for something very big. There's no indication that they're just going to let this go. And you know, they're not going to lose the momentum that they've built up and, you know, start over. It's not going to happen. And, you know, I'm hearing lots of little hints from experts and people on TV that we're supposed to respect and listen to, that this is going to continue for years. And the second wave is just around the corner. You know, we might have a little break in summertime, but not too much. And by next winter, oh, it's going to be even worse than before. Well, I don't know how they could possibly know that unless it's all planned out. When, like, we're living through a play that's already been written, you know, a movie script that's been written. And unfortunately, most Americans really do suffer from normalcy bias. Because, you know, things have been good in our country for so long that it seems almost impossible to the average American that things could actually get that bad here. And believe me, that's the plan if we allow this to continue. We're in a new paradigm now. We can't expect things just to magically return to normal without us taking a role. Because they have no intention of doing so. And, you know, as these governors say, oh, we're gonna open up the state in 2 more weeks, but we have to meet certain standards. There's certain things that have to happen before we can. We want to do it. Don't get me wrong. We want to do it, but we can't. And we have to meet certain standards. And, you know, this scumbag Gavin Newsom, I keep an eye on him because I lived in California for, gosh, you know, 20 years. At least, probably longer. He's saying that one of the things we have to have is this contact tracing. And he wants to have, he said either 2,000 or 20,000, let's just say 2,000 to be on the conservative side, 2,000 of these contact tracers, an army of contact tracers to fight the virus. That's one of the things we have to have. And, you know, what one of his one of these health ministers, whatever they call him in Ventura County, actually said, well, we're going to have to quarantine people in hotels. And he kind of let that slip, and then he backtracked it when you know, the public's reaction was so vehemently against it. But I really think that's part of the plan, because I've heard Gavin Newsom about, 3 weeks ago, talk about how California is going to start buying up hotels. And he wasn't really clear at that time, well, we're going to buy up hotels to house people. Yeah, to house people. But he didn't say what kind of people, you know. So they're actually talking about essentially forced quarantining people. With this contact tracing, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to say, well, hey, you could use this to round up dissidents. Just say, hey, this guy has been on the wrong websites. We don't like what he says. We don't like the posts he makes. He's saying this is all a hoax. He's got coronavirus. Bing, you got coronavirus, pal. You know, and all your friends are going to have to be questioned and given a test, a phony test that doesn't work, doesn't test for anything that's believable. Yes, Doc Times saying in the chat room, control of food used to guide behavior? Yes, who would have thought of it? It's actually, you know, a time-tested technique of, well, the communists, you know? And they're going to use a lot of different ways to keep people pacified here. And, you know, this handing out the checks to people is a great way to keep people quiet and pacified for now while they get everything in place. Snippets is saying they are emptying out our local homeless camps. Yeah. Yeah, they're doing that in California and in other places too that I've seen. Oh, yes, Jimmy Jean is saying, hello, Jimmy, is saying that no one is deploying 5G behind your back. No, it's not secret. Well, that's true, because it's this old sleight of hand, you know. Be afraid. Oh, by the way, we're going to go ahead and install 5G at the local school. No cause for alarm. Because, you know, how could you possibly live without your toaster being hooked up to the internet, you know? That's going to make your life so much better, having your toaster be online there. That's going to change your life for the better. Yeah, and Lumen Jingo is just saying there is no accurate test for COVID-19 or SARS-2, or which is COVID-19. That's right, there isn't. It's all smoke and mirrors. But we're all supposed to just submit to it and, thank God I don't have the coronavirus. Or, gee, I have coronavirus, but I feel fine. Nope, you're sick. Get in the camp. You know, this is just amazing. Okay, and another thing too, just to go back to something on the more positive side, you know, if this hoax is exposed, the general public could really start to lose faith in the medical system as we know it. You know, and the medical system is great if you break a bone or need some kind of basic surgery. Yeah, I agree. It's great for that. But it's hardly a secret that, you know, the medical system has become a slave to, you know, globalist big pharma and deep state operatives at the top. That's not a secret any longer. And of course, it's these two entities who fund the medical schools and all the research and set the parameter for what is acceptable. But let's not forget, you know, the medical system as we know it has not really been in place all that long, if you look at it from a historical perspective. You know, the Rockefellers sort of took over the medical industry in the early 1900s. And, you know, before this takeover, medicine was really all about herbal medicine, homeopathic medicine, diet to keep healthy, exercise, various other cures that were very popular and quite effective. But the problem was there was no way to patent all of these cures. And therefore, there was no way to centrally control it. So, of course, with the birth of the oil industry, Rockefeller realized that he could, take over the oil business, make a monopoly, but also take over plastics and medicine all together at the same time. And that's pretty much what he did, guys. And it's only been, a little over 100 years. That's not very long in the whole scope of human history. And we all need to remember that. This isn't something that's been going on for that long. Although we think it is because our human lives are not very, long on our own personal perception. But in terms of the history of medicine, it's not very long. And it can be reversed if enough people lose faith in it and stop complying. And really, this medical takeover really didn't begin in earnest until 1910, thereabouts, with the Flexner Report. The Flexner Report. Yeah, the Flexner Report and its aftermath. So this Abraham Flexner was funded by Andrew Carnegie, who was, of course, a close associate with John D. Rockefeller. And basically, to sum it up, this report just said, look, there's too many medical schools, and there's too many medical schools that use herbal medicine and homeopathic medicine, and these all have to be destroyed because we can't centrally control it. And so they said that we need to close most of these schools. Those were the recommendations. And the remaining ones must be held under one unified standard with central control. And that's really the key to everything is central control, isn't it? And the solution to so many of our problems is decentralization. Decentralization. And of course, the Flexner Report, it mocked herbal medicine and demonized it. And they even, went on a campaign to have doctors thrown in jail. It's quite a story if you look into it. And John D. Rockefeller was behind pretty much the whole thing. His money. And, of course, this is always what they do, and this is what they're doing now. They just shower money upon the things they want created. And Rockefeller was sort of the pioneer in this concept. And he gave $100 million to chosen universities, medical schools, and hospitals. And founded a so-called charitable trust called the General Education Board. So with this $100 million is how he sort of started to take over medicine. And it's the same game that this Bill Gates character is playing now, only he's dealing in billions of dollars because of inflation and all this funny money that's been printed up. So as a result of this $100 million investment, medical schools and hospitals were homogenized. And basically all future medical students were learning the same kind of education. There was no more diversity in education. Well, I thought they wanted diversity. Well, not that kind of diversity. And then, of course, the little saying that they made up, a pill for an ill, became the mantra of these new medical schools. A pill for an ill. That sounds so innocent now, doesn't it? So the important thing we need to keep in mind, this is only 100 years ago, and it's really a blink of the eye, when looked at it from a historical perspective. So this can all be reversed. if people start to lose faith in this system that we're being forced to live under. Yeah, Dirt 2.2 posted a book, The Pharmaceutical Era, 1909. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff there. Yeah, and then Snippets is pointing out that they use this philanthropy to advance the cause. Yeah, it's another trick, isn't it? You know, the philanthropy. It sounds so like, hey, I want to help humans. It's so wonderful. But of course, it's exactly the opposite. And Crab Cake is saying it's not so easy to find a good book on the Flexner Report. I'm sure that's true. Time to wipe that kind of stuff out. We don't want people to know about that because it's really a very brutal, it was a very brutal takeover, and it actually destroyed the lives of many well-intentioned doctors who had very good cures, natural cures, that could have put our society and civilization on a whole different trajectory than we're on now. And so look, after 100 years of this wonderful medical system founded by the Rockefellers, this centralized medical system, you know, it's so wonderful, but there's still no cure for cancer, diabetes, asthma, even the common cold, right? You know, autism and all kinds of other diseases are skyrocketing. And we're supposed to believe that this system is just about the best damn thing you could ever have, isn't it? But there is a cure for cancer, and it's been locked away, supposedly, according to this Dr. Richard Dunnigan, who revealed, you know, like I was talking about in this New Order of the Barbarians from the 1960s. He's saying that there is a cure on file at the Rockefeller Institute in Chicago. Yeah, and of course, guess who founded the American Cancer Institute? John D. Rockefeller in 1913. So again, we haven't been under this tyrannical medical system for all of that long. And it's good to have a historical perspective in this. And I think it gives some hope that it can be reversed. It can be reversed. But it's going to take a lot of action on the part of us little people. Can't just sit back and watch TV anymore, guys. That's over. So yeah, this whole crisis is being used as a cover, not just for medical tyranny. And it certainly is being used as a cover for medical tyranny, but also financial tyranny. And they're using it as a cover to enact this global climate change agenda. And, you know, the head of the UN, this Antonio Guterres character, actually admitted that on a video that was released, an official video from the United Nations. And if you watch this guy's video, just type it in on YouTube, this guy's eyes are completely black. You know, his eyes, the windows to the soul, they're completely black. This guy is dark as can be. And he says, he actually comes right out and says, quote, the same leadership is needed to address the looming existential threat of climate disruption. He continued, these are dark days, but they are not without hope. We have a rare and short window of opportunity to rebuild our world for the better. Well, that's an interesting choice of words, because to rebuild the world, it first has to be destroyed, doesn't it? So interesting choice of words. So go on and look at that video. They're coming right out and saying what they're intending to do. Yeah, and Snippets is saying Eustace Mullins murdered by injection. Absolutely. An incredible book. And I believe that there are PDFs on the internet. You can just go on and read for free. And he lays out the whole thing, even how that, you know, how the dodgy origins of the AMA, the American Medical Association, was started by basically a grifter and this character that was the inspiration for the movie Gaslight. If you've ever seen that, there's two different versions of it. But this guy was the inspiration for it, where he intentionally tried to drive his wife insane. And that was the great founder of the American Medical Association. So yeah, check out Eustace Mullins' book, Murdered by Injection, an incredible, incredible book. And we're coming to the end. This went by really fast this time, and thankfully, she actually posted the link there. I didn't see that. Anyway, thankfully there was no technical problems this time. Thanks everybody for listening, and please try to remember to give a little money to Revolution Radio and keep this platform of free speech and free thinking alive. It's more important than ever, guys. So keep that in mind. Everybody take care, have a good week, and we'll see you next week. Okay, bye-bye.